We're studying tonight for Galatians chapter 6 and the message. I want to preach to the young people in particular. I know it's Youth Sunday. This is a message for everyone, but I do want to emphasize this towards young people because if the natural course of things go, we never know what's going to happen, but if the natural course of things happen, then you have your whole life ahead of you. You have many years, and hopefully many decades ahead of you that I hope that you'll devote to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope that you will use your life to leave a mark on eternity. And that's the title of the message tonight, is Leaving a Mark on Eternity. And when you think about that phrase, it certainly carries a lot of weight, doesn't it? When we can think that God can use one life to make a mark on eternity. And some of you realize this, but maybe some of you don't. If you don't, I want to remind you tonight, young people, there's a God in heaven that's real tonight, and He wants to use your life to make a mark on eternity. He wants to use your life to make a difference in someone else's life that could change them for all of eternity. And I thought about this. We are blessed to be able to be a part of a church like Fellowship Baptist Church where there's an atmosphere, there's an expectation that our young people, that our children would grow up to surrender their lives and give their lives to God. And that's a great blessing. That's a great privilege to have a church family to where it's expected. I'll be honest with you, I'll be surprised if some of our children and grandchildren do not grow up and become preachers and preachers' wives and missionary wives. I just expect it. Because when you put them in a spiritual atmosphere of worship where Jesus is honored and where there's an emphasis on serving God with your life, that's what happens. So we expect that, we anticipate it, we pray for it. And I want to encourage you tonight, young people, serve Jesus with your life. There's nothing better you can do. I've never regretted the day when I said yes to Jesus for salvation, and I've never regretted the day that I came down to an old-fashioned altar. It was at a camp meeting service in Pickens, South Carolina, there in the sawdust, in the shavings there out on the outside meeting. It was storming. There were storms going through. The wind was blowing. But a preacher that night preached on discipleship, and he told us to count the cost and asked us, challenged us to serve God. And I got down in that altar and told God I'd do whatever He wanted me to do. And God had already been dealing with my heart. And the next church service we had at our home church, I stood up before our congregation and announced my call to preach. That was September the 26th, 2004. I've never regretted a day of that. Amen. Can I tell you that on September the 27th, I went to work that morning, and the devil told me, you made a fool of yourself in church last night, and you need to go and apologize and tell everyone you didn't know what you were talking about. Has the devil ever done you that way? He did me that way, but you know what? I never went back and apologized. Never went back and apologized, and I don't plan to, and by the grace of God, I hope that I can just say like Joshua, every day of my life, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Amen. We're going to go with God, and I hope you young people will be able to say the same thing just all the days of your life. All the days of your life. I pray that you'll be able to leave a mark on eternity. Galatians 6:17, let's read it one more time. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, from henceforth, let no man trouble me. That's some of our life verse, right? From henceforth, let no man trouble me. And he said this, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Paul got a lot of persecution. He caught a lot of slack for preaching the gospel and for preaching the gospel of grace. A lot of men criticized him, and a lot of men questioned his authority, and they tried to undermine his ministry. And Paul says, look at my body. I've suffered. I've been beaten. I've been persecuted for the cause of Jesus Christ. And he says, therefore, let no man trouble me. He says, you're wasting my time. I made my mind up a long time ago, church, that I'm going to serve God. And I've got the marks to prove it. And I'll challenge you tonight that there ought to be a time in your life, if not now, somewhere down the road, you should be able to look back and you should have the marks to prove it. And you should be able to say, I've served God with my life. There's been valleys. There's been persecution. There's been dark days. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I don't plan on turning back. And I hope you'll be able to say that one day with your life. Now, the pastor's been preaching through the book of Galatians, so I'm not going to re-preach everything he's going through, but it's gotten my wheels turning, and it's gotten my mind to thinking about what's going on here with the churches of Galatia. And I just want to go over that briefly with you, because some of you are not here on Wednesday nights. The churches of Galatia, Paul had started during his first missionary journey, and what had happened was after Paul had established these churches, he established them by preaching God's grace plus nothing, minus nothing. You're saved by grace, not by works. You're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. He established those churches, and they had the right foundation. Paul moved on and began to start other churches. Well, after Paul moved on, there was a group of Judaizers, a group of law keepers that came in, and they said, well, we believe that you must be saved and circumcised if you really want to be saved. And so they came and they began to trouble this church. Chapter 1 teaches that they came and they really troubled these people, and that bothered Paul. And I'm going to tell you tonight, it ought to bother us that there's so much false doctrine going on in the world. There's false teaching on every hand. There's denominations teaching that there's no hell, and there's denominations teaching that there's more than one way to heaven, and there's denominations teaching that you're saved by grace plus works, and there's denominations teaching everything under the sun, and Paul thought that it was a very serious matter. He condemned those that would preach any other gospel, which is not another gospel, but he said, let him that preacheth any other gospel, he said, let him be accursed. Paul thought that it was a matter of life and death, and it was. This matter of false doctrine. So Paul was very concerned. And what I wanted to draw your attention to was Paul made a difference. Paul gave his life to God, and he made a difference in the life of these churches in Galatia. And I think that we find the key in verse 17 of chapter 6 of why Paul was able to make a difference. Why was Paul able to make the difference that he made? Paul planted a lot of churches. I could have taken maybe many texts, or I could use a lot of examples. He planted a lot of churches. God used his life, and he left his mark on eternity. Why was he able to do that? And what's it going to take for us to be able to leave a mark on eternity? Well, look at verse 17 again. He said, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Paul was effective in making a mark for Christ because he bore the marks of Christ. Did you get that? The reason why Paul was effective in his ministry and had the power of God on his life was because he bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't get anything else tonight, that's my message. The message is this, if I could sum it up in one sentence. In order to make a mark for Christ, we must bear the marks of Christ. Young people, if you want to make a difference, if you want to make a mark for Christ on eternity, you're going to have to be able to bear the marks of Christ in your body. In other words, what that means is when things get difficult, you got to keep on going. When things get tough, you got to press on. When circumstances are unfavorable and your friends are quitting on Jesus and it's not popular in school, you just got to keep serving Jesus. If you don't do that, you'll never make a mark on eternity. You'll never make a mark if you're not willing to stand alone. You'll never do much for God if you're not willing to bear in your body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to be different. I've tried to tell my class often, in order to make a difference, you have to be different. There's nobody making a difference today that one time in their life they said, you know what, I'm willing to be different than everybody else. I'm not going to do what they do. I'm not going to think like they think. I'm not going to laugh at what they laugh at. I'm going to serve Jesus with my life. So in order to make a mark for Christ, you have to bear the marks of Christ. I can't get that out of my mind. To be honest with you, up until about 2 hours ago, that was all my notes. That's all I could think about. Was if I'm going to make a difference, and I want to. I don't know about you. I want to make a difference with my life. It's easy to say. I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to just exist. Take up space. Breathe God's air and be a good person. I want to leave a mark. I want to make a mark for Jesus. Something that's going to last for all of eternity. I think there's some of you that want to do that too. So there's a price to pay. There's a price to pay. We have to be willing to bear in our body the marks of the Lord Jesus. So what does that mean? Let's look at those two phrases. That's the 2 points. Number one, making a mark for Christ. And then number two, bearing the marks of Christ. So what does that mean? When I say that we need to make a mark for Christ, what do I mean? What does that mean? To make a mark for Jesus Christ. Well, just very simply, it means I want to have a spiritual impact. In very simple terms, I want to have a spiritual impact on the lives of other people. That's what it means to make a mark. You see, people are trying to make a mark in doing a lot of things. I did a Google search just to satisfy my curiosity. There's so many articles and so many books people are reading about how to make a difference. 11 ways to make a difference, 7 ways to change the world, 5 ways for this, you know. And people are trying to make a difference in all facets of life. But I'm not talking tonight about making a difference politically. I'm not talking about making a difference emotionally or physically. I'm talking about leaving a mark and making a difference spiritually, having a spiritual impact on someone's life. Maybe being the one that could lead someone to Jesus. Maybe being someone that God could use to help someone grow in their Christian walk. And can I tell you, God still uses young people to do that. God still uses young people to give the gospel. God still uses young people to quote scripture. God still uses young people to pass out tracts. God still uses young people to make a spiritual impact on the lives of others. Ask our pastor. God used a little girl, I believe. His life changed his life forever because of a young person. I'm going to tell you, young people, God wants to use your life to make a spiritual impact on the people around you. Maybe your parents. Maybe you're here tonight and your parents aren't here. Maybe they're out of church for some reason. Can I encourage you? Just serve Jesus. Pray for mom and daddy. Maybe it's a grandma. Maybe it's a grandpa. God can use your life to make a difference and make a mark on eternity. And I pray that you'll give your life to Him tonight. You know, I begin to think, let's look at chapter number 4. I want you to see something here. Chapter 4. Paul left a mark. Wouldn't you say so? We're here today because God called a man that was the apostle to the Gentiles. Thank God for that. And because Paul said yes to Jesus, the gospel went forth to the Gentiles, and here we are, thousands of years later. Paul made a mark on these churches too. You know why? Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, "Howbeit then, when ye knew not God." See, there was a time when these people weren't saved. There was a time when they didn't know God. "Ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods." Paul said, you know what? Before I came to town, you were worshiping idols. Paul made a difference on this church. And they got away from it. And then Paul was writing them back and he was saying, I marvel that you have been so soon removed from the gospel that I preached to you. And I believe that God used Paul again. And I believe he made a difference in the life of this church. And it was because he was a man that was willing to suffer some hardship. It was because there was a man that was willing to just keep on keeping on and not quit on Jesus. That's why, and that's what it's going to take. I began to think about some men that's made a mark on my life, and I want to share some of that with you tonight. I don't do this much in my preaching, but there's been some men that God's used in my life, and I just want to share it with you. Pastor's one of them. God's used our pastor to make a mark on my life, and not just in the past 4 years. For those of you that don't know, as a little boy, I attended the church that our pastor preached in South Carolina. And I don't remember much about those days, but I remember that's the church I was going to when God saved me. I remember that's the church I was going to, that when I would walk in the doors and the choir would start singing "It Is Well With My Soul," they would sing it through about 6 times because the presence of God was there. And God used our pastor and his preaching. I remember that God would meet with us there at Faith Baptist Church in Cleveland, South Carolina. I remember as a young boy, I don't remember all the details, but I remember there was something different about that church. There was something different about that preacher. He meant what he was saying, and he still does. Amen. God used him to make a mark on my life, and there's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Through the preaching of the Word of God, I was saved. Thank God I had parents that brought me to church, put me under the sound of the gospel. And I began to think, it's a miracle how God reached into my family and saved our pastor. And because of that, I'm here. I'm saved. If God hadn't have done that, I don't know where I would be, Pastor. No telling where I'd be tonight. I've got some family members that they're away from God, and it just makes me wonder, where would I be if I hadn't have been introduced to Jesus Christ in that church there in Cleveland, South Carolina? You know why? Because there was a man there who was willing to pay a price and just keep serving God. Amen. I didn't understand all of that when I was a young boy, but there's been some men that's made a difference in my life, and our pastor is one of them. Another one was my cousin. I was saved as a 12-year-old boy. My family was in church, and some things began to happen. My parents got out of church for a while, and I went out and started living my life my way. Got out from underneath the influence of the preaching of God's Word and began to do what everybody else was doing. And one of the things everybody was doing, everybody was going to college, so I had to figure out where I was supposed to go to college. And I'm not preaching against college, but I'm preaching against being out of God's will, and I was 100% out of God's will. So I said, well, I need to go to college, and my major was sport entertainment management, whatever that means. All I heard was sport. I said, sign me up. I'm going to do that. But then my cousin, Jeremy, he stayed with it. He served God right on through. I grew up with him in the church that our pastor pastored there in South Carolina, and he was serving God. And you know what? There's no doubt in my mind, he prayed for me. He prayed for me when I was out of church. And can I encourage you, young people? God can use you to pray for somebody, and your prayers can be effective to get them back in church. You say, well, I don't see it. I've been praying for a long time. Keep praying. Keep praying. He would call me, and I would answer the phone, and he'd say, how you doing? And I'd say, well, I'm doing all right. And I'd always just lie to him and act like everything was okay. And he knew everything wasn't okay. He knew I wasn't where I needed to be with God. That's why he was calling me. But he kept praying for me. Kept praying for me. He said, Brandon, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you and I love you. I thank God for him. I tell him often, Jeremy, I thank God for you. I don't know where I'd be if you hadn't been praying for me. You know what? That was somebody that made a mark on my life. Now, can I ask you, who is it in your life that you're making a mark on? He was making a mark on my life. And he told me, I was out of God's will, and I was coming home for Christmas break, and he said, you know what? He said, I heard there's a church that's not too far from where you live, where your mom lives. He said, you ought to try it out. He said, Brother David Childs, that's my father-in-law now, he said, Brother David Childs pastors there. It's about 5 minutes from your house. So I said, you know what? I'll go check it out. So I went there on my Christmas break, and two things happened. Number one, I saw her. I got really interested in church. I mean, like all of a sudden. But I'm going to tell you what else happened. I'd be lying if I told you that wasn't part of it, because it completely was. But something else happened. There was a man there that had a fire burning in his soul that was a preacher. A preacher. Just preached God's word straight, preached it hard, no apology, preached it with passion. And my soul got something that it hadn't had in years. And I was starving for God's word. And God began to do a work in my life. And my father-in-law, Brother David Childs, is another man that's made an impression on my life. That was the church that I was attending when I married my wife. That was the church that I was attending when God called me to preach. Because he would preach often about surrendering your lives. And he exemplified it. And I thank God for my father-in-law. Thank God for these men that God's used in my life. Not long after that, God allowed me to pastor. I called a man in. I'd heard him preach one time to preach a missions conference. His name was Tony Howarth. This man also made a mark on my life. He came in and he would preach, and I preached like no one I had ever heard before. Preach with just tears streaming down his face constantly as he was preaching. And he would tell us about the needs around the world, and God had used his life in a great way. And he had paid a price, and his daughter had suffered from a disease. And he at one time he was on the mission field, but they had to come back because his daughter's life was in danger. But he had a burden, and his heart was broken for the souls of men. And I seen him preach, and I seen that he had something, and God used his preaching to open my eyes to the needs of the world around me. God used him to make a mark on my life. There's no doubt in my life that all of these men, God's used, and more so. I could point to men in this building. You've made a mark on my life. And can I tell you this? The reason why is because you've been willing to pay a price. Now, some have paid a greater price than others. But can I tell you this? If you're going to stay in this thing, and if you're going to serve God, you're going to have to be willing to just keep on keeping on. You're going to have to be willing to endure. And you're going to have people that are going to criticize you. Hey, listen to me, young people. You're going to have some that's going to laugh at you. They're going to make fun of you if you're a Christian at school. They're going to make fun of you if you stick out and you don't do the things that they do. Let them make fun. Amen. And you're going to have some of them, like they're going to do like they were doing with Paul. They tried to discredit his ministry. They were saying that Paul was a second-hand apostle. He wasn't like Peter, James, and John. He was trying to make a name for himself. You know what? Paul didn't let them off the hook. Turn with me to chapter number 1. I like the way Paul handled this. And I want to encourage you with this. When an atheist or an agnostic or a religious person tries to corner you about your beliefs, don't let them off the hook. You corner them about theirs. Amen. If they try to corner you and say, you really believe in that creation stuff, say, absolutely. You really believe in that evolution stuff? You know what I'd ask them? I'd say, you know what? What if you're wrong? You see, if I'm wrong and you're right, okay, I'm going back to the dust of the ground. No big deal. But guess what? If I'm right and you're wrong, you're going to spend an eternity in hell without Jesus if you don't repent and trust Him as your Savior. I tell you what, can I tell you this from experience? Almost every time, if you get them to start thinking, you're going to win. You're going to win. And it's not just to win an argument, but I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people that are trying to justify their ungodliness and their unrighteousness with unreasonable facts. Right? That don't make sense. Unreasonable thoughts and sayings, right? So don't let them off the hook. And here's what Paul said. He said, I know what happened to me. Chapter 1, verse number 11. He said, but I certify you, brethren. Paul had something all these men I talked about that had an influence in my life had. They all had something in common. They were convinced of some things. You see what Paul said? He said, I certify you, brethren. I'm assured of this. I can tell you what happened to me. He said that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Paul says, I remember where God found me. I remember what I was doing before God came to me. And it profited, verse number 14, the Jews' religion above many mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me that I might preach among Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. You know what Paul's saying? He's saying, there was a time when I used to persecute the church, but God came to me and Jesus saved me. He called me by His grace. And then look what he says in verse number 23. Verse number 20, he says, I lie not. And then verse 23, he says, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which he once destroyed. God took him from persecutor to preacher. You know what Paul was saying? He said, you're not going to talk me out of my gospel. Because mine changes lives. Amen. And young people, I want to tell you tonight, if you're saved by the grace of God, hey, don't settle for any other gospel. Don't settle for any other way of life. This is the only one that changes lives. It's the only one that can take a persecutor and change him into a preacher. It's the only one that can take a drunk and turn him into a missionary. Amen. The gospel of grace changes lives. Paul said, I'm not changing. Not change. You can beat me. You can throw stones at me. You can run me out of town. I'm just going to keep serving God because He saved my life. He changed my life. Amen. Amen. So Paul was convinced of some things, wasn't he? He said, I know whom I've believed. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. He said, you fellas can believe whatever you want to. Mine came from God because it changed my life forever. And all these men, if you're going to make an impact in somebody's life, you're going to have some convictions. You're going to have to stand on some things. You have to have some boldness. Amen. Some young people, you're going to have to stand. You have to stand up to your friends. You're going to have to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ if you're going to make a mark on eternity. Amen. Don't compromise with the world. Hey, be proud of who you are. Amen. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. That's what God's looking for. Looking for some people to stand. Young people, tonight I pray that you'll decide tonight to make a mark for eternity. Let's talk about that second phrase. Chapter 6, verse 17. What did he say? He said, "For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Now, what was the message? In order to make a mark for Christ, I must bear the marks of Christ. If I'm really going to make a difference, I've got to be willing to bear the marks of Christ. So what do we mean by that? What do we mean by bearing the marks of Christ? What does Paul mean when he says, "For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus"? Well, the word marks implies a wound or a scar. He'd been beaten. He had been marred. I think that a verse of Scripture, a passage of Scripture, can do the explaining better than I can. Turn, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter 14. I think things like this is what Paul was talking about. Brother Paul Hardy, he's here tonight. I'm going to use you for an example. Brother Paul, we were talking about you in a good way the other day. I was talking to Pastor David, I believe, and we said, you know, Brother Paul's a blessing because he's sticking with it. Listen, I guarantee you tonight, if you were to go and talk to Paul since he's been saved, everything hadn't been rosy. I promise you that. I don't know. I hadn't talked to him about his personal life, but I promise you everything just hadn't been smooth sailing since he's been saved. But you know what? He hadn't missed a beat. He's here. Amen. He's here. And I pray, Paul, that you just continue to serve God with your life. Amen. Things are going to be difficult. Just keep serving God. Amen. He's well on his way to making a mark on eternity. Amen. And I hope that we all can do that. Here's what Paul did. Look at Acts chapter number 14. Let's go to verse number 19. One of my favorite stories in the Bible right here. Paul on his missionary journey. And he's preaching Acts 14, verse number 19. Notice what happens here. He says, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead." So here's Paul. He's preaching. He's preaching repent. He's preaching the gospel from city to city. And here's these Jews. They're coming behind him and they're causing him trouble again. They drag him out of the city. They stone him. They leave him for dead. There's Paul laying there in the street. Look what happens next. Verse number 20. "Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe." You know what he did? He got knocked down. And he got up. And he went to the city. And he kept preaching. The Bible says, "A just man falleth seven times, riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief." Hey, you're going to fall down. You're going to get knocked down. I hope you don't get stoned. Paul did. He got back up. You know where he went next? Look at it, verse number 21. "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch." You know where that is? That's the place where they just stoned him. He went right back. He preached the gospel, they stoned him, left him in the street for dead. He got up, went and preached the gospel. He said, "You know what? I think I'm going to go try again." You know why Paul made a mark? Because he was willing to pay a price. These people seen someone that meant business. You're not going to go back into that city if you don't really believe what you have is the truth. Now, what's it going to take to get you to shut your mouth about Jesus? Somebody laughing at you? Somebody criticized you one day on the job? Somebody laughed at you? Maybe a girl you had a crush on in school kind of made fun of you because you talked about Jesus one time. Now you won't say anything anymore? If you don't get over that, you're not going to make a mark on eternity. Because you're afraid you won't get that promotion, if you try to witness to your coworkers, you're not going to make a mark on eternity. Paul was willing to pay a price, went back into the city, and then notice what happened. Verse 22, "confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Can you imagine that? There's a part of me, I hesitate to say, maybe I wouldn't have loved to have been there. Maybe I'd have been a little scared, because I'll be honest. But there had been a part of me that loved to witness that. To see this man get beaten and then get right back up. You know, he's still got the wounds. He's still got the scars. And then he walks into that church. Could you imagine that congregation? Looking at that man that had just been beaten, and then he's there and he's confirming them and he's exhorting them to continue on. Now, it's one thing with me doing it. But if Paul were standing up here, that would have fired me up, man. I'd have been ready to take on the world. He was here and he was charging them. God used him to make a difference. He made a mark because he paid a price. Now look what happened. Verse number 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Ordained elders in every church. I tell you, they got the job done, didn't they? He made a mark on that region. You know why? Because he was willing to bear in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I want to show you a verse of scripture here that I struggled with for a long time. I can't remember the commentary I was reading, but there was a man that I believe he's on to something, and I believe that he brought out the truth of this verse in Colossians 1. It was a great blessing to me. I want to share it with you. Colossians 1, if you notice verse 23, the last phrase, Paul says, I, Paul, am made a minister. Whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. You see that, verse 23? Then look at the first phrase of verse number 25. Whereof I am made a minister. So Paul's saying, I'm a minister. I'm in the ministry. And verse number 24 tells us what ministry is about. Let's look at that one. Verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Isn't that a weird saying? Come on, let's be honest. Paul said, I rejoice in my sufferings for you. He said, I'm so glad that God's allowed me to suffer for you. Now look what he said. And fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Now that's a mouthful. What does that mean? Paul said, I'm thankful that God's allowed me to suffer for you. And Paul's saying that in his body, that God has allowed him to fill up, you see that? He's allowed me to fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. What does that mean? What is behind of the afflictions of Christ? What is it of the affliction of Christ that's behind that God's using Paul's body to fill? Here's what it is, I believe. Paul is a visible representation of Jesus Christ to that church. Now, Paul, I'm not saying Paul was Jesus Christ, but Paul was saying, God has allowed you to see Jesus Christ in me. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. Paul said, the reason why I've been able to make a mark, the church of Colossae here, it's because I've allowed God to put some marks on me to make a difference in your life. And that's what he said. I don't know about you, that challenges me. I realize it's different in America. I realize they're not beating us. I realize they're not stoning us. And hopefully that'll never come to pass. But I'm going to tell you, we're never going to make a mark on eternity. You're never going to make a mark on anybody if you're not willing to suffer some things and just to keep on going. And realize, hey, God is putting me through this and somebody's watching. Somebody's watching. And if I quit, I'll not have an impact on anybody. I'll not have an impact on anybody. Now, I'm going to close here in just a moment. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is my conclusion. God uses people who have been broken to help broken people. Did you get that? God uses people who have been broken to help broken people. Isn't it going to be hard for me to help someone to go through something I've never went through before? 2 Corinthians 1 teaches that. God's going to allow you to go through some things so that you can in turn help somebody else who's going to go through the same thing. God's going to use broken people to help broken people. So sometimes, I don't know what you're going through tonight, but these things in your life that are difficult are necessary. They're necessary. See, some of you have been praying, God, use my life. God, I want to be a help. God, I want to be a better Christian. And God's allowed all these things to come, and you're scratching your head saying, I don't understand why things are so difficult. And God says, well, they're necessary. Because if you're going to make a mark for Christ, you're going to have to bear the marks of Christ. So, the invitation is very simple tonight. It's, are you willing? And there's one of two responses. It's either I will be willing to bear the marks of Christ in my body, or I won't. It's that simple. You're either willing or you're not. I read a statement just a little while ago on a commentary of Galatians. And the guy used the example of Thomas. Remember doubting Thomas there in John 20? Jesus had resurrected from the dead. They told Thomas, he said, I'll not believe. He said, until I see the print of the nail in his hand, thrust my hand in his side, I'll not believe. And this is what that man said. He said, you know what? That's what the world is saying to the church. They're saying, until I see some scars, until I see that you're willing to suffer some things, until I see that what you have is real, I will not believe. That's what the world's saying to the church. Until I can see that what you have is worth paying a price for, I'm not going to believe. And then guess what? When he seen it, he said, my Lord and my God. Right? Now that might be taken out of context, but a good illustration, isn't it? I wonder how much of an impact we could have if we were willing to pay the price tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, I'll